Your name?
Larry Bryant.
Your organization?
I work for Housing Works, and I'm also co-chair of DC Fights Back.
What is Housing Works?
Housing Works is an organization based in New York City that provides housing, supportive services, education, training, job training for people who are either HIV positive, homeless, recently released from prison, active or recovering addicts, or a combination of all the above. We have different facilities, housing facilities and medical facilities in and around New York City. We here in DC work in the advocacy office, where we do national and local advocacy around a lot of the issues that contribute to the epidemic around the country. So helping to support grassroots networks, mostly led by people that represent the epidemic where they are, and help them to kind of develop a support system that addresses advocacy issues related to HIV and AIDS in their communities.
While you're working all over the country and all over the world, you came back from the AIDS conference in 2010, which is in Europe, and 2012 is going to be right here in D.C. Yeah. While you're all over the country, locally, you're going to be part of a debate which is coming up next week, a mayoral debate. Can you talk about that a bit, Larry Bryant?
Yes, and I see it more as a forum where it's not necessarily the candidates being pitted against each other, but having each candidate talk about the HIV and AIDS issues here in the city, and invite the audience, the listening audience, citizens from D.C., voters, positive people, advocates, people that work in community organizations, to actually either ask questions or challenge each candidate on where they stand on specific issues related to the HIV epidemic here. So it won't just be about why is my organization not getting condoms or why have we run out of condoms again, but it'll be more specific and target some of the primary issues that contribute to the growth of the epidemic here. The lack of comprehensive sex ed in schools, for example, the lack of meaningful well-funded resources for abused women and girls in the city. The fact that the AIDS housing waiting list is spiraling out of control, well over 700 people now. You know, being able to identify those as factors that contribute to the epidemic, and then hopefully develop some kind of discussion that leads to the consensus that we need a comprehensive plan in the city. We want to see where each candidate's stand on those issues, and what if elected mayor, how they choose to address those issues.
You said you'd like to see a comprehensive plan, but the CDC called DC's HIV love, didn't they call it epidemic? Don't we already have a comprehensive plan for dealing with HIV AIDS in DC?
What we've heard both from the mayor's office and from the current leadership at the health department is that the comprehensive plan as defined by them is actually a set of different plans from different agencies around the city. So, for example, there's a plan, the Department of Justice has a comprehensive plan, a measure of success, if you will, over the next 12 months. You know, the Department of Education has their plan that they intend to go on for the next calendar year, or so forth and so on. You know, even the health department, the different departments in the health department have their own individual plans of how they are going to manage resources, you know, utilize staff and benchmarks to that point to define each department's success. However, none of them are working together in regards to HIV and AIDS. When you're talking about an individual that's HIV infected, it's not just a person living with HIV. It could be also a person that's homeless or is in an unstable housing situation. You're also talking about a person that may need some job training, or is living in poverty, is you know, doing a single woman with three kids that's, you know, living from partner to partner just to pay rent. So we have to, you know, a comprehensive plan implies that there is a comprehensive network that's connected to each other that services the entire individual, you know, therefore addressing the epidemic from its root core, not just, wrap it up, get tested, and be tagged as a number being let back out in the city, only to experience the same pitfalls and potholes that the individuals are doing anyway.
what candidates have said yes, and who has not said that yet, said that they will be there?
Well, the confirmations we have to this day so far are from Chairman Vincent Gray. We have confirmations also from Leo Alexander and Solomon Brown. We're also waiting to hear back from Ernest Johnson, who hopefully we'll hear hopefully by the end of the day that he's confirmed. We've heard tentatively from the mayor that he's not going to show up, but we are going to revisit, invite to him, making sure that we can get either him or someone from his office. But as of, at this point, he has actively declined to participate.
What does that say to you? What's the significance of the mayor who is overseeing an epidemic of HIV/AIDS with DC, where the 2012 the International AIDS Conference will be? So many issues on the table here. Doesn't the mayor of Washington, D.C. need to be here to discuss these issues?
Yes, I think he does. I think it's horrible that he is not, even though he states in every other meeting in front of the camera how much of an urgent issue HIV and AIDS epidemic here is in the city. I mean, he said this from day one from being elected. But, you know, he very rarely attends any type of forum or any type of community level discussion around what the epidemic is, to discuss solutions. His office has played a very, tentative at best, interaction with community members, positive people in the city, including DC Fights Back. I think it's disrespectful to those people that live in the city who are most at risk, who are living with HIV like myself, to the families of individuals who have died on waiting lists, who have died without adequate services, without the city's full and urgent response to an epidemic that, again, goes far beyond just being a health issue. We're talking about a social justice issue that this mayor has done little to nothing on. I personally find it completely disrespectful that him and his staff have, in their lack of response to any of this. You know, it's not about pushing anyone's agenda. It's about developing a citywide plan that addresses the people that are most at need. It's in all of our best interests that whoever sits in his office is successful and effective. So if it's going to be him, if it's going to be one of these other candidates, we would apply the same type of accountability and expectation. He seems to not want to accept it or feels arrogant enough that he doesn't need to accept it.
And Mayor Fenty, I understand, looks up to President Obama. And didn't President Obama recently put forward a national strategy for dealing with AIDS in the country for the first time? Even though the U.S. has given money abroad and required other countries to have plans for the first time, now the U.S. has one. And it would make sense to follow that lead and have one for the District of Columbia.
The last meeting that we had with the mayor's office a few months ago with James Carter, and who was still in her position as director of HIV and AIDS Division and Health Department, Shannon Hader, actually said that, looking forward to the release of the National AIDS Strategy was actually a good thing, because it would give, at the time, Dr. Hader was considering, following the lead of the National AIDS Strategy in building a kind of a citywide plan based on the strategy. First time in our history that this country has had a National AIDS Strategy. There has been no response, no ripple effect from the city government, from the health department, on how or what that plan means to D.C. How do we use the National AIDS Strategy as a guidepost, if at best? And I think the National AIDS Strategy, for the record, can be a little bit more ambitious than it currently is, but at least it is a starting point. So whether, we're talking about how, lowering infection rates by 20, new infections by 25% in the next 5 years, hell, I'd love to hear that from the mayor's office and how we're going to do that. I would love to hear that we're going to pay, put some very specific and targeted goals in black male black gay male populations, some of the highest numbers in the city around new infections are among black gay men. You know, what we can do to provide adequate and effective services to women and girls and children, and benchmarks to be able to tease out its effectiveness and then tweak it, you know, to know that we are, you know, going in the right direction. Those are all, I think, you know, reasonable goals that can be applied to an urgent and surely deteriorating problem that we're having here with the epidemic. But we've heard nothing about that. But again, hopefully the forum on the 11th will have some of these discussions, and the candidates that do show up will have thoughts on how we can make that plan tangible and make some of the solutions tangible as well.
Larry Bryant, it strikes me as interesting that you are asking for a plan to be developed for what is an epidemic. And I was wondering if you had any comments, if this situation were occurring in Upper Northwest and it was a wealthier, whiter population that was being attacked in such numbers by this disease, if, you know, we wouldn't be asking for a plan years later to simply be developed if this treatment would be quite different.
That may or may not be true. I mean, if you look at the city historically, I mean, take HIV and AIDS out of it, the city historically is built on divisions, you know, on race, on economic status, on education. Historically, you know, generation after generation, poverty lives in Southeast and in parts of Northeast. And you know, whether it's been economic development, whether it's been improving resources for education or just improving schools, you know, the same communities are the ones that suffer for that. The same community-based organizations, the same local businesses, the same communities and families have not received the support over generations, whereas other parts of the city have and have much more direct and connected ties to where the funds and where the money is. Now, this is not about pitting one side of the city against the other or one quadrant against the other. This is about applying the resources and applying the support where it's most needed, and building from within those communities, not, you know, shipping developers from Chicago into Southeast to build high-priced condos for people, you know, that currently live there can't afford, or opening up new restaurants along a strip, you know, tearing down some of the old family-owned shops that have been there. But it's about looking at the entire city, looking about where the needs are, where the communities and populations are that are most marginalized, that suffer, you know, with the most health disparities, and develop a strategy that builds up, not just, you know, trims off the top. It's not a coincidence that our current mayor, you know, resides in Upper Northwest. His base is in Upper Northwest. He pays more attention. He has more visibility in the communities that he sees as most supportive. Maybe he's not as familiar with Southeast as he is with other parts of the city. But as mayor, you know, he or whoever has that office is supposed to govern the entire city. And we have seen a historic disrespect and disregard to those parts of the city that have suffered the most.
Larry Bryant, as we were talking before the interview, you mentioned how in the 80s, there was a crack epidemic, which fell along some of the same lines this AIDS epidemic is falling along. And it almost speaks to, and as you pointed out, that AIDS is not just a health issue. This is about housing. This is about resources, about where the resources end up and where they don't end up. But as we finish up, can you talk about, as you said, these generations of neglect and how it leads to, whether it be crack or AIDS, that this neglect is going to, if it's going to rear its ugly head in some form or another, and the importance of dealing with this as a collective problem and not just picking it out as just a health problem.
Right. I mean, again, a lot of the same factors that fueled the crack cocaine epidemic in the mid-80s exist now and are significantly, you know, present in the HIV and AIDS epidemic. Poverty, you know, domestic violence, social violence, you know, people undereducated, underemployed, so forth and so on. Crack becomes a quick fix, and it's quickly spread throughout those communities. So, but again, addressing the epidemic is not just getting rid of the crack, because we're, you know, other things fill its spot, whether it's alcohol, whether it's crime, whether it's AIDS, whether it's whatever it is. We have to see this, whether it's in D.C., whether it's Chicago, wherever, you know, Mississippi, Oakland, understand it as much more of a social justice issue than just a health issue. We could find a virus, and in Vienna at the International AIDS Conference, there were a lot of, you know, bits and pieces of what could be good news 5 to 10 years from now in regards to vaccine studies and so forth and so on. We could find a vaccine tomorrow that will eliminate all new infections by this weekend. We could use that vaccine to inject people who are currently HIV positive, the 1.5 million plus that we know of in the States. And by this time next week, there are no more people living with HIV in the city and no more coming. But if we don't address those fundamental issues within the social structure that allow people to sleep in front of the White House, you know, 365 days in a year, that we don't, you know, put in place the services that protect women, that protect girls from being beaten and raped and you know, basically, you know, dying in silence, that we don't, you know, put in place policies that allow homophobia and racism and sexism to just run rampant. If we don't put these fixes in place in the social, you know, in the entirety of the social system, we're just waiting for the next epidemic. HIV will be gone. Something else will take its place, because we're not addressing the foundation of the city. We're not addressing the history and the culture of the entire city. We're just fixing issues with money. We're fixing issues with condos and economic, you know, fixes in the disguise of economic growth. But the places around the city that are poor get poor and remain poor. And we need to start addressing those foundation flaws if we hope to end this epidemic and to get a leg up on anything that's coming down the pike.
Thanks so much, Larry Bryant.
Thank you. Thank you very much.